Good morning, and welcome to the 2190th broadcast of The White Way. The White Way is a public service radio broadcast brought to you by Mo'ili'ili Honganji Mission. Mo'ili'ili Honganji Mission is a Jodo Shinshu Buddhist temple located at 902 University Avenue. Our resident minister is Reverend Bert Sumikawa. He and the members invite you to temple services and activities. If you go to our website at www.mo'ili'ili honganji.org, you will find a map of where we are located and some information about our temple and activities. This morning's program is sponsored by the Harmon family, and we will be listening to a rebroadcast of Reverend Earl Ikeda's talk. Reverend Earl Ikeda formerly was a minister at Mo'ili'ili Honganji and is currently with the New York Buddhist Temple. Good morning, Reverend Ikeda.
Jippo Mijin Sekai no Nenbutsu no Shujou wo Misonawashi Seshu shite Stezareba Amida to Nazuke Tatemazuru. Seeing the sentient beings of the Nenbutsu throughout the world, countless as particles in the ten quarters, the Buddha grasps and never abandons them, and therefore is named Amida. Good morning, everyone. This is Earl Ikeda. I'd like to first of all express my best wishes to each and every one of you. How grateful we are as we reflect upon this poem written by Shinran Shonin to help us understand a concept or something about what is known as Amida Buddha. Shinran Shonin himself had said, there is no way to truly express what a Buddha is, especially Amida. And therefore, through his poetry, he tried to explain different aspects. And this particular poem reflects upon the unconditional love of the Buddha. Again, Amida Buddha, seeing the sentient beings of the Nenbutsu. Nenbutsu in this case means the reality, those involved in life, the dynamics of life itself. Throughout the worlds, countless as particles in the ten quarters, the Buddha grasps and never abandons them, and therefore is named Amida. The countless worlds is not limited to just Buddha worlds, but it means every aspect of our lives, beginning with our families, our community, the places that we work, the places that we study, the friends that we participate with, our communities, our state, our nation, the world. Each and every one of us has a particular place and a particular responsibility in participating in what is known as life, because we were given this precious gift to be able to make a difference. And here it is, the Buddha is not trying to take us somewhere else, but is trying to get us back to what is known as basics. And from here, when we can not only use the Dharma to hear, but also to begin to internalize, then we begin to understand who and what we are, and learn to appreciate what the Buddha's teachings are about. Today, being Wednesday, we have our preschool Dharma class, and I asked a question to the children in our Dharma message: what is the meaning of Ohana? And the children quickly raised their hands, and I said, yes, what is it? And so several of the children said, Ohana means flower. And I think to understand this, many of the students here at Mo'ili'ili Honganji Preschool have Japanese parents. So, of course, for them, the word Ohana, being flower, makes sense. And I said, well, yes, in the Japanese language, hana means flower, and o is a way of showing respect or being polite about the word. But I said, here in Hawaii, we have also a word named ohana, to clarify. What does ohana mean in Hawaiian? And the children looked at each other, and they couldn't answer. And I said, well, I'm afraid I have to give each and every one of you an F for Hawaiiana today, because it is a very, very important word. It came out in the word Lilo and Stitch, a Disney movie about Hawaii. And I said, well, in Hawaii, ohana means family. But when I talked to my Hawaiian friends to ask the source of the meaning of this word, In today's world, it seems that the word ohana is limited to our blood ties. But for traditional Hawaiians, ohana means a universal family. We're all part of a big picture. We're all connected in some way. So this word ohana has been very, very important to me. And I think when we begin to awaken to this reality, hopefully we become more mindful of each other and more understanding. It was in October that I had the opportunity to visit New York. And the last day and a half staying in New York, I had some free time. So I thought I'd try an experiment, try to find different areas in New York City. So I tried or ventured on the subway. And I happened to end up in Chinatown for lunch. And it was a very crowded restaurant. And so they asked if I wouldn't mind sitting down with others on the same table. And I said, no, it didn't bother me. So I sat down. And next to me was a middle-aged Chinese girl who spoke English quite well. And in the course of our conversation, she had mentioned to me that she had moved to New York City to marry an American and has been in New York for 6 months. And she looked at me, and I guess in the Chinese tradition, seniors seem to have a special place as far as respect. So she asked a question, or two questions basically. First was, what do I do in Hawaii? And I mentioned that I was a minister. And so she said, can I ask for your advice? And I wasn't sure whether I could give her advice or not, but we began chatting. So she was saying that I enjoy America, I love my husband, but I'm very, very unhappy, she said. I said, what do you mean? Well, my husband tries very hard to make me happy, but the things that he does, the people that he introduces me to, are different from what I understand or what my lifestyle has been. So sometimes it gets to be very confusing, or even to the point where it becomes very uncomfortable. So we chatted for a while, and I said, you know, this is America, this is not China. And Americans really take care of their wives. So I think if you were to explain or talk or have conversation with your husband, saying that you're not happy and say why, I think your husband would be not only happy to hear this, but also would try to make you happy in many, many different ways. And we talked about other things, and she thanked me. On another occasion, I met another couple, and for some reason over coffee, we started talking about different things, and they asked me about this, they asked me about that, and I guess they were curious about Buddhism. And on another occasion, riding the plane coming back from New York to Hawaii, there was a woman who was seated next to me who was on her way to LA. And she was talking about her relationship, a long-distance relationship between herself and a friend in LA. It was very, very interesting. And because I guess they were interesting, and they were asking me various things about how we look at this situation, that situation, from the Buddhistic point of view. To make a long story short, in the period of about a day and a half, I received 4 emails to say, let's continue this conversation, let's continue to exchange ideas. How grateful I was. But I think what this brought to me was a great attention, or the great truth, that no matter where you are in this world, the challenges that human beings meet are all the same. And this is the very basics of Shakyamuni Buddha's teachings, that all life is full of ups and downs. We call it sufferings, we call it different things, but it's real. And it took me to go to New York City to be able to understand this truth. I think we as human beings, sometimes when we're in a different situation or different environment, we tend to look at things differently. We tend to even judge the situation or the place that we are based upon what we feel comfortable with. But you know, human beings, no matter where you are, no matter what the situation may be, are all the same. Even children, when they're first born, when they cry, all sound the same. It is only later on, as they mature, that when they hear different language or different sounds, they begin to have a slight difference in how they express themselves. but in reality, they are all the same. So as I reflect upon this poem written by Shinran Shonin, the various worlds throughout the 10 quarters refers to every aspect of our lives. That the Buddha realizes all these various things and therefore made the vow to embrace each and every one of us unconditionally. The Buddha grasps and never abandons. It's the vow of the Buddha that says, I accept you for what you are. And I think what the Buddha is trying to do is, and I think Shinran Shoni is trying to express, is that sometimes we think too much. If we only get back to basics and begin to look deep inside and realize things are okay in that situation, that which makes it difficult for us to understand and perhaps difficult to accept is the fact that our own minds creates that discrimination. So if we can come back to the Buddha mind, which looks at everything from a different point of view, perhaps we'll be able to enjoy a life embraced by the Buddha, Amida. Seeing the sentient beings of the Nembutsu throughout the 10 worlds, counted as particles in the 10 quarters, the Buddha grasps and never abandons them, and therefore is named Amida. How grateful we are. Namo Amida Butsu.
Thank you, Reverend Ikeda. If you would like to listen to any White Way radio broadcast again, you may listen to it via Mo'ili'ili Honganji's website, www.mo'ili'ili Honganji.org, and look for it in the White Way section. Now here's an announcement. Tomorrow, Sunday, April 2nd, the Hawaii Buddhist Council will be holding its Buddha Day service, Ohana Matsuri, at Jodo Mission of Hawaii, located at 1429 Makiki Street, starting at 9:30 a.m. The speaker will be Dr. George Tanabe. There will also be a food drive, and they will be collecting canned goods or non-perishable items. There will be no service at Mo'ili'ili Honganji. As we come to the close of this morning's broadcast, we wish to thank our sponsor, the Harmon family, and our speaker, Reverend Earl Ikeda. Our technician has been Patrick Como, and I am Ethel Shintaku. We thank you for listening this morning and hope you will join us again next week at the same time when our speaker will be Reverend Yuika Hasebe. Namo Amida Butsu.